Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude in chapter number 1. If you're trying to find the book of Jude, turn to the very back of the Bible. You have the book of Revelation, and then turn the other direction, you have the book of Jude. So Jude is only one chapter. It is the gateway to go from the epistles to the book of the Revelation. And so we encourage you, if you don't mind, to take your copy of your Word of God, and turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude, if you don't mind. And let's pick it up starting at verse number 1. The book of Jude and verse number 1. The Bible says this: Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, notice the phrase that we find in Jude verse 1, where it says, sanctified by God the Father. Sanctified by God the Father. Now, as we begin this Sunday school series, we know that the book of Jude is only one chapter long, but yet it is so rich with things to learn about. And today we're going to notice this phrase of being sanctified by God the Father and learn a little bit about what the Bible declares and describes as being sanctified. Sanctified. That sounds like a good religious term. Have you ever heard someone says, I'm sanctified? Well, we want to describe what does the Bible say about sanctification. What does the Bible mean by this? Now, as we introduce this, we are introduced to Jude. Notice this in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Now, Jude was written by the half-brother of Jesus Christ. Remember that Mary and Joseph had children of their own, that Jesus was conceived of God with Mary, not Joseph, and that Jesus was born. But after that, Mary and Joseph had children. They had brothers and sisters. Jude was one of them. Jude was one of Jesus's brothers. Could you imagine what it would be like to grow up as the brother of Jesus Christ? Mary looking down at Jude and say, why can't you be more like your brother? I can't. He's perfect. Imagine what it would be grow up to have a perfect child. I know my brothers and sister had to deal with that. Can you imagine what it would be like to grow up with a perfect child and see them in the example, and next to them, you're always messing up. You're always whining. You're always complaining. But Jude watched Jesus' life. If anybody knew about Jesus' life, it would be his family. But Jude had never accepted Jesus as his Savior until after Jesus died on the cross. It wasn't until he rose from the grave that he accepted it. There's something about familiarity breeds contempt, that it's hard to imagine your brother being the Savior of all the world, growing up with him. It's a different relationship. And so none of Jesus's half-brothers or sisters, according to tradition, had accepted Christ until after he rose from the grave, and then they all accepted. Jude here could have address this letter. He could have easily said, hey, I want to let you know I'm writing this letter, and it's me. I'm the brother of Jesus. That's why you should listen to me. But that's not what he puts in here. Notice this. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. The word servant carries the idea of a bond slave, a slave, if we want to be more specific. He says, I'm not considering myself, as I write this letter, the brother of Jesus. I'm writing myself as the servant, the slave of Jesus. I'm a nobody trying to tell about somebody who could save anybody. He says, I'm just trying to tell people about what this happens. It's not me. It's about Jesus Christ. And notice who he addresses this to. He addresses it to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved by Jesus Christ and called. So we could see this address here to them that are sanctified. To them that are sanctified. What does it mean to be sanctified? Well, that's a very good question. And the Bible happens to describe a little bit about sanctification in the Bible. If you don't mind, let's go through here and understand what the idea of sanctification. The word sanctified actually carries about three meanings with it that are all in one. That the first meaning of sanctified is, when we say that we're sanctified, is that we are, first of all, set apart. That we're set apart. That when you become sanctified, you become set apart. Now, how do we become sanctified in the first place? Well, we understand that to be sanctified, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, how do I do that? You recognize that, first of all, that you're a sinner, and because of your sin, you've offended a holy, righteous God. That Jesus died for you, and you personally accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. The moment that you do that, the Bible says that you are sanctified. So when we see the Bible use the word sanctified, now we got to define what does it mean to be sanctified? Well, the first idea is when he's sanctified, it is set apart. He is set apart. The first time that we see the word sanctified used is in the book of Genesis in chapter number 2. And he uses the word sanctified for the Sabbath day. So he says, the Sabbath day that it is sanctified, it is set apart. Well, what does it mean to be set apart? Well, the Sabbath day was made to be different than all other days. So the Sabbath day was to be a day that you set apart, that you set it for God, and then it was supposed to be a different day than Monday, than Tuesday, than Wednesday, than Thursday, than Friday. It's supposed to be a different day than the rest of the weeks. It is set apart. It is separated out for God for that day. For those of us who are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, it means that we are set apart from everyone else. That means there's got to be something different about us than any other person. Does it make sense? So the way that we are in our life is to be set apart for God and for His use, to be set apart in a way that is totally different than everyone else. May I remind you at this time that the Christian life is not a better life. It is a different life. We're not better than anyone else. We're just completely different than everyone else. That's the idea of being sanctified. We are set apart. We are placed for God and for His use. We should yield ourselves to God. Yielding our members for anything else is sin because God has redeemed us, bought us to Himself. And only God's work can be done by His people as we set ourselves apart to Him. That's how God's chosen to do this. So the first part of sanctification, that we're sanctified, carries the idea that we're set apart, that there's something different about us because we're set aside, we're put aside. Maybe a different illustration, just a minor one. Have you ever sanctified M&Ms, set apart? Maybe you have your favorite kind of M&M, that the green ones are better than all the rest of them. So you set the red ones and the blue ones and set aside, and you set these other ones just aside. Or maybe you've done it for breakfast cereal. I know one of my crazy things when I used to do is I'd eat everything but the marshmallows. You know, you pour the Lucky Charms in there and you have everything. And you eat all the other, you know, healthy stuff. I don't know if cereal's healthy, but it's not the good stuff. You eat that out of the way and all you have is a bowl full of marshmallows. You set them apart for your use. That's kind of what God wants to do with us. He wants to set us apart, separate us out, make us different, something unique, set apart. And that's what He wants for us. It's almost like separating us from all the common lump, all the common stuff. He's setting us apart because He has something He wants to do with us. That's the idea of sanctified here, to set apart for His use, to put us away from everything else. And that's what He's done in our life when we've accepted Jesus as our Savior. He sets us apart with that idea that He wants to do something special and unique with us than the rest of the world is doing, than the rest of what everyone else is doing. That's the part of being sanctified. There's a second definition of sanctified. Now, all three of these definitions are true at the same time, that the first one is to be set apart for God's use. The second one, to be sanctified, is that we are declared holy. we are declared holy. Now, what does that mean? The word sanctified, that means to be declared, to be regarded as holy. That when we accepted Christ as our Savior, God sanctifies us. It is at that moment He regards us as holy. What do we mean by that? That means that when He looks upon us, He doesn't see our sin. He sees Jesus' record on our account. That's how He sees us. That when God looks down at you, He sees Jesus' blood who died for you, that washed all your sins away. It's almost like this. It's almost like the angels up in heaven were keeping a file, writing down everything that you did right or wrong. But when you got saved, they replaced your file. They took it out and they put Jesus' file in there. And guess when you open up Jesus' file? He's perfect. He didn't do anything wrong. They look at this and they look at Jesus' file and they can't find a single thing you've done wrong. That's the idea of sanctified, that you're regarded, you're declared holy. You are declared not just sinless, but you are also declared that you were never a sinner. You know, that's something completely different. That the idea of sinless is that you are without sin. The idea of that you are never a sinner is that you are not capable of sinning. Remember, Jesus is not capable of sinning. Now, we're talking about in regards of how God sees us. We're not talking about the idea that we still have our human body. But we're talking about the consequences of sin. How God sees us and dealing with our consequences. You say there's consequences for sin? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that because we've told a lie, because we've disobeyed our folks, because we have stole a cookie from the cookie jar, that because of our sin, we deserve death. We deserve a payment, and that is death, separation from God. We deserve hell. But when God looks at us in our account because of what Jesus Christ did for us, because we accepted Him, He opens up our file and say, look, there is no sin to be paid for. It is all erased. It is all gone. It is gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally because my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. They're gone. That He looks at me and He sees Jesus' record on my account. I am justified, just as if I had never been a sinner. And that's something to shout about. That's something to be excited about. That when God looks at us in regards of sin, they're gone. It is paid for. It is taken care of. I'll never owe God the debt of hell ever again. Why is this important? Because God can only fellowship with those that are sinless. Sin puts a big divide in us. So because we have Jesus' record on our account, we are considered holy. Now God can fellowship with us because we are considered holy. We're declared holy. That's pretty amazing now. That you can have fellowship with God. You can talk with God. You can be with God, which is what God wants in the first place, because our sin no longer divides us and God. It is now taken care of. Oh, what a wonderful thing that is. That Jesus is taking care of that. We are declared holy. Now, the word sanctification also carries another meaning, that we know that it means to be set apart for God's use, to be set out. It carries the idea that we are declared holy, we are positionally holy. But it also carries the idea here that we are to become holy. We are to be holy. This is what another idea of this word sanctified. The word sanctified means to be holy. We find an Old Testament account of this in the book of Joshua as the priests are getting ready to go across the Red Sea. And Joshua says, now go sanctify yourselves. He says, go make sure you're holy. Make sure you're right with the Lord. The Bible teaches us that the Christian life is a holy life. If you desire to know how Christians should live, you should ask those who are not Christians. Did you hear what I just said there? If you want to find out how a Christian is supposed to live, go ask someone who's not a Christian. How is a Christian supposed to live? And someone who's not a Christian will say, well, they're supposed to read their Bible. They're supposed to pray. They're supposed to go to church. They're supposed to give. They're supposed to tell other people about the Lord. Somehow, when we become Christian, we forget that we're supposed to do all those things. And we have a hard time doing them. But you go ask someone who's not saved, someone who doesn't go to church, how is a Christian supposed to behave? And they'll tell you. That's the idea here, is that we're supposed to do those things that everyone knows that we're supposed to do. The lost world knows what a Christian is supposed to be like. May I also insert in that the lost world is tired of hearing about a Christian. They want to meet one. They want to see someone who actually behaves like a Christian. Well, this is the idea here, that we are to become holy. We're supposed to live a life that backs up what we believe. That if you believe that God is God, then there's certain ways that you should behave. You should have no problems reading your Bible if you believe that God is God. You should have no problems praying if you believe that God is God. You should have no problems giving if you know that He is the great giver who takes care of everything. You know, it's all the ideas, are we looking at God? Are we growing closer to Him? Are we trying to get closer to Him? As you get closer to Him, your life will change. It will push things out of your life. That's the idea of becoming holy, becoming sanctified. He's pushing them. You know, someone may say, well, how do I become sanctified? I mean, that sounds good, but what do I do? Do I close my eyes and clench my fist and go, come on, come on, come on, I can do it, I can do it. I mean, that's a good question. How do you become sanctified? How do you become more holy? Well, that's a great question. Well, turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of John. The Gospel record of John, chapter number 17. The Gospel record of John, chapter 17. In the Gospel record of John 17, we have Jesus' high priestly prayer that He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's preparing to go to the cross. And He is taking time to pray. This whole chapter is the record of Jesus' prayer to His Father. And while Jesus is praying for the Father, He's praying for you and He's praying for me. Think about that. He's praying for us at this time. But notice what He says concerning us and sanctification. It says in John 17, notice with me in verse 16, John 17 and verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, all right, so here's how we sanctified, through thy truth, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So how do we become sanctified? How are we becoming more and more holy? What is it? Do we just clench our fist? Do we paint ourselves? Do we put on a little halo and turn on batteries and go, ah? How do we become more holy? By God's word. By reading God's word and obeying God's word. As we read God's word and we obey God's word, we get closer and closer to God. Things will naturally fall apart. You know, that's the wonderful thing about sanctification. They tell me that in the South, there's a tree that is the last tree to lose its leaves. That all throughout the winter, it keeps its leaves. All the way up to spring. And then when the spring happens, the only reason why it loses its leaves is because the new growth pushes the old leaves out until they fall out. Well, that's exactly what God does with us, is that as we follow after God, God will naturally push the things out of our life. They will naturally change. It's not an idea that, well, in order to live a Christian life, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You got rid of this, you got rid of this. Well, what will happen is that as you follow after God, your natural desires, your taste, your things that you like will naturally change. Things that you used to be able to watch, you can't watch anymore. Things you used to listen to, you can't listen to anymore. Things that you like to do, you no longer have an interest in doing. How does that happen? Well, as you follow after God by reading His word and obeying His word, He pushes those things out so you no longer have a desire to do them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that better? This is why this isn't AA. You know, in AA, they teach people that once you're an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. You know what the Bible says? That as you follow after Christ, he could push that desire out of you. You don't have to desire a drink anymore. You don't have to desire alcohol anymore. You don't have to desire rock and roll music. You don't have to desire sex and movies and all that other stuff. Those things will naturally get pushed out where you don't want to watch them anymore. You don't want to engage in them anymore. That's what God does. That's what sanctification is that he lets us become more holy as we take his word, read it, and obey it. Our natural desires will change. You know, doesn't that help? Because what happens is that when someone gets saved, they don't become a super Christian overnight, right? When you accepted Christ as your Savior, the next day you weren't immediately looked right, dressed right, smelt right, did everything right, never sinned ever again. And more importantly, inside of you, you never craved and desired anything you used to do as a lost person, right? I mean, was it that instant of a change? No, there's a process of sanctification that as you get closer with God, as you keep your eyes on the Lord, as you follow after God, he changes you from the inside out. That helps us to be patient with people because we got to take them from where they are and move them forward. We can be patient with people. We don't have to expect them to become the super Christian overnight. All we're trying to do is get them to follow the Lord. Someone will say, well, do I need to give up my movies? The most important thing you could do is follow the Lord. Well, do I have to get rid of my CDs? The most important thing you could do is follow the Lord. Well, do I have to give up this? Do I have to give up this? The most important thing you could do is follow up the Lord. That's the answer, and then it pushes everything away. Unfortunately, a lot of times, people within our belief system believes that you should work on the outside in. All right. You got saved, let's get you a haircut, let's get you a shave, let's change your clothes, let's do this. And they work on the outside, but the inside never gets touched. And so on the inside, they're just as foul and as nasty and diseased and rotten because they've never been changed from the inside out. They got a good slap of paint on the outside, but still rotten in the inside. Does that make sense? How people change is God changing them from the inside out. Our main responsibility is to help them to follow the Lord, to teach them to follow the Lord. And God changes them automatically. That's how it works. This is the idea of sanctification. And by the way, this is why we took time to take a whole Sunday school lesson to explain sanctification. That sanctification is three definitions in one working at the same time. That it's set apart. That God has set us apart from everyone else with a desire to use us, to put us different, to make us different than everything else. He has set us apart. We are also declared holy. That God has looked at us and he says that our record is Jesus's record. We are considered justified. It's not just as if we'd never sinned. It's just as if we had never been a sinner. And that we can have fellowship with God. We can be with God. We can spend time with God. We are considered sanctified. And then there's a process of sanctification that he's doing now. That as we follow the Lord, as we're reading the Bible, as we're obeying the Bible, as we're getting closer with God, he changes us from the inside out. So the things that we used to desire, we no longer desire. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my life to Jesus. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay. Things are different now. Something happened to me when I gave my heart to Jesus. You see how that works? So when we take someone, we're not trying to fix the outside. We're trying to get them to follow the Lord. Because that is the answer of changing the whole Christian life. That is the simple thing of taking them away. That way we don't have to deal with the little peripheral issues that they want to fight over. Well, I want my music. Fine. Follow after the Lord. Well, I want my movies. Fine. Follow the Lord. Well, I want this. I have this desire. Follow the Lord. And as you follow the Lord, those things naturally change. Isn't that a better way of dealing with folks too, by the way? To allow them to grow Our main thing is to go beside them, put our arm around them, and let's go follow Jesus together. Let's go forward. Let's follow after him. Follow after him. Because there's a process of sanctification. So in the book of Jude, he addresses this and addresses the crowd who he's going to be talking to for the rest of the book. That he says in the book of Jude, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." So we now know that the rest of the book of Jude is not addressed to lost people. It's addressed to those that are sanctified. Those that have been saved by Jesus Christ and that God has set apart, that God has declared holy, and those that are trying to follow after the Lord and God is pushing those old things away. This book of Jude is for that crowd. That he's going to address these things to those people that are sanctified, set apart for God's use, following after him. And so we're looking forward to seeing what the rest of this book is going to be talking about. As we now transition out, may I also remind people that God has provided a way for us to live a holy life. God demands that we live a holy life. The book of 1 Peter says, "Be ye holy as he is holy." That's a commandment. He demands that we become holy. But we don't have to be daunted by a list of what you're supposed to do in the Christian life. We just need to get in the habit of following after Christ. And we don't need a list. He will change us from the inside out. He has provided a way for us to live holy lives because he sanctified us. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.